Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 19 Millionen Euro. 19 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Woman in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today we welcome Anna Phoebe, the world-renowned violinist, composer, and broadcaster. We will be discussing the rewards and the struggles of crossing boundaries between musical genres and having the confidence to improvise. Hello, my name is Esther Abrami, and today we're talking to Women in Classical. I have next to me Anna Phoebe. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I was really impressed with everything that you've been doing. And coming as a classical musician, I found it absolutely amazing how you improvise, how you just compose, how you like you're able to play so many different styles of music. And I find that amazing, but I'd love for you to tell me kind of how did you get into music and why did you decide to make it your life?
So I started playing when I was 7 years old. My mum's a violinist, but her profession is a social worker. And my dad is a historian, a professor basing on the Holocaust, but he was also a musician. He played the guitar and played songs. So I think I grew up in a household where music was not necessarily career led. It was more kind of part of your holistic joy of life, the way to sort of process emotion and everything that's going on in your life. So we grew up in a really musical household, but never the pressure that maybe some households had of like, you know,
you've got to
succeed, yeah. Practice 12 hours. You know, I never kind of had that. It was more kind of a supplement and a kind of thing to carry you through life. And I never wanted to be a professional musician or a classical musician. I wanted to be a politician. So I think in my head, I was going to be a politician.
And that was like your...
That was my
side.
Passion.
Yeah.
And then music was going to be something that kind of carried me along.
Yeah.
After I graduated, by accident, I was studying in London at the London School of Economics. And every night I would spend on the London music scene, just go and see loads of bands. And then whenever I liked them, I would literally go up to them afterwards and be like, do you need any violin? I'm a violinist. I'll come to the studio. I'll play for free. So I just did like 3 years of... Yeah. Hosting events, going to like jam sessions, playing with incredible musicians across the board from the pop world, the jazz world, the classical world a little bit, but actually not really. It was like classical was like the sort of background, and my sort of like background training. But I kind of dived into all the other styles of music.
That's amazing. And so you were, did you go to a music school or did you learn through your parents or?
So I did all my grades and like got grade 8, like a distinction. And I grew up in Scotland, so when I was in the National Youth Orchestra of Scotland and then Camerata Scotland, I think I was like the youngest kid there, but then I didn't want to go to the academy. I had a music scholarship to my school, so I had sort of classical training, but I was never pushed in the way. Yeah. It was never going to be an option that I was going to be a soloist, and I didn't know that the career that I have now, I didn't know that that existed. I thought it was either you're a soloist or you sit in an orchestra and or teach, yeah. And I knew that I didn't have that training. And I knew that I didn't want to sit in an orchestra or teach. And yeah. I loved politics. So that's what my passion was at the time.
How did you decide to, I guess, really go within the music route and leave politics aside? Oh, have you left politics aside?
Well, really? I'm kind of going back into it. But I think, so the music, it kind of, you know, it really, it is like, it's like that ball and chain, isn't it? It's not a choice to not do it. So, and I just, when I graduated, I was getting more and more work through people I'd met. And then I was touring, I was getting offered gigs, touring around the States. And then I was playing like with goth bands while also being, I was doing work experience at the Houses of Parliament for like the junior health minister at the time. And then at the weekend, I was traveling to like south of Berlin in like goth punk bands, playing like violin with electric pads. So I had this like very sort of Jekyll and Hyde
different
kind of experience.
Roles, yeah.
And then when I graduated, I got offered a tour in the States. And that, so age 22, I was suddenly touring around arenas with my, being a violinist, but with rock musicians, pyro going off, playing in front of 20,000 people. And then through that, I just got the tours and got to be a sort of featured soloist with like rock bands. And then since then I'm signed to a record label and compose. And so it's kind of, I feel like it's organic, but yeah. I think that just saying yes to things that I felt like I wasn't really equipped to do and just kind of diving in yeah. and having all these sort of experiences, one sort of led to the other. And yeah. that's kind of how I got my career, I guess.
I guess a personal question for me is like, how did you, because I know you said kind of you went to talk to me, you know, to the musicians at the end, and but how did you always feel so comfortable improvising? Did you always feel comfortable like on stage with people you didn't know or different styles of music that maybe you didn't weren't so familiar with at the beginning and just improvise? I'm guessing you can improvise on anything now, but how did you get to that kind of degree of comfort?
So I think my mum, when I was very little, we used to play music in the house and then just jam along to it. So I think that, and that's one thing that I still say to people if they're like, I don't know how to improvise. It's like, just play music you love.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. No one's judging you. No one's, you know, yeah. and there's, I think maybe in the classical world, there's this strive for perfection. I worked as a composer for the Royal Ballet School. And when I see those 16, 17 year old kids in ballet, it's that similar kind of thing. You're either right or you're wrong.
Yeah,
and there's no,
between, yeah.
yeah. And it's about, I think the beauty for me is having had the space to find my own creative spirit in just making mistakes, finding my own voice. And I think one way to do it, if you're so used to kind of being more rigid, is just in the privacy of your own home, in the way that you put on music and you just dance, put on the music that you love and just take your instrument and play along and just kind of experiment. And there's no yeah. right answer. You yeah. can just explore. And that's where it came. So I think I did that from my mum, who really encouraged that from a young age.
That's so lovely to have been encouraged yeah. to do that from very young. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's many, but what would be your kind of highlight, the highlight of your career? Oh, maybe highlights, you say a few.
I think one of my like most biggest insecurities that I always had was I didn't go to music college.
Okay.
And I think actually when I look back, I think the best bits of my career have actually come out of that insecurity where I think I've said yes to things that I don't feel fully qualified. So I think the fact that the violin and music has taken me to places I would never yeah. have thought about, you know, playing arenas with pyrotechnics, or I've been composing with the European Space Agency, you know, collaborating, responding to images and data and going to see their technical center where shuttles take off into space. And, you know, and as
yeah.
a violin, it's like, oh, I would never
cool.
have thought that the
yeah.
violin and music could be a
could
key.
Mix with that. Yeah.
yeah. And science. So I would say all these incredible experiences playing with DJs out in the Middle East, really just like living life to the full, and the violin and music and writing music has just been the key to opening all those doors which are normally locked.
That's really good to hear. And I love what you said about just saying yes to things that you're not comfortable with, like talking about improvising. So I'm really classically trained, but I always loved improvising, and I was doing it by myself when I was younger, and then I went into music school and I was spending so many hours trying to be better with my technique that I just kind of put that completely aside. And I was just, you know, yeah, learning pieces. And it's just, as you said, it's just a kind of right or wrong. And then recently I realized, I was like, I can't believe I just let that go. I used to love it. And then it's that fear of thinking, oh, but I don't know. And there's a musician I admire a lot who's called Ibrahim Malouf, trumpet player.
Yeah.
And we connected on social media, and he invited me to one of his concerts. So I was like, yeah, sure. So gave me a ticket anyway. And then one day before, he texted me. He was like, what's your there? Like, bring your violin. Like, why don't you join us on stage? And you know what? I said yes, but without thinking about it. And then I realized, I was like, did I just say that? Say yes to that? Am I? And, you know, I had to improvise in front of like 3,000 people with him, who's, you know, obviously somebody that I admire a lot.
Were you more scared of doing that than playing a solo classical piece?
You know what? At the beginning I was, because I didn't really know what I was, in a way, I didn't know what, like, I've never done it. It's something, as I say, like, uncomfortable in a way.
Yeah.
And I said yes, because I wanted to do it. But then I realized, oh, wow, okay. And anyway, so he gave me the song, and I, you know, and it was the best, one of the best, like, musical experience of my life, to just go on stage and have that feeling of, I can actually play whatever comes through my mind.
Yeah. And your technique is so incredible. I think the thing about improvisation is that actually it allows you to sink into the moment in a way that you can't, you're not thinking ahead.
Absolutely.
You're thinking in the
right
now.
What am I in
the
present. Now?
Yeah. And your technique is so amazing that you're playing within your technique.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to fear.
Yeah.
And if you have that's the technique, you can take the risks.
Yeah.
And I find also you listen to space in between notes in a different way when you're improvising.
Yeah.
So it can add to the magic, and you can it actually means you involve the audience in a different way.
Absolutely.
Because you're responding, you know, when Bach or Mozart or Rachmaninoff, when they wrote those pieces, there was no audience. They weren't writing for now and in the moment. And when you're improvising, I mean, one of my favorite albums is the Hilliard Ensemble with Jan Galbraith. And just the idea that you have something so, this beautiful classical bass, but in the moment, you're responding to the space, you're responding to the sound your instrument's making, you're responding to the people on stage with you.
Yeah.
And actually just as important is the audience and the energy they're bringing.
Absolutely.
And you can kind of, it's like you're walking this tightrope. It's the best feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, I started this improvisation and started with slow melody. And then I got like into a faster bit and the audience started cheering. And I was just like, it's amazing. You obviously never get that. Like I can't even imagine like playing a Mozart concerto or something. It was like cheering, but it was an amazing feeling. It was just, as I said, like actually reacting to the music on the spot, like right now, this is the. So it's always lovely to hear also from other musicians, you know, say like really encouraging things about improvising, because it can be scary sometimes. And I was scared to feel out of place and thinking some people have so much more experience than me in that field. So I felt uncomfortable. But then once I was on stage, I just forgot everything about
it. I think
it's
a non-judgmental space, isn't it? It's a and the thing that actually you're letting go of is like your ego. You have to kind of, and actually, so it's like a complete stripping. It's like proper meditation. I can't meditate. I have panic attacks, but if I'm playing the violin and I close my eyes, like that to me is the meditation when you're exploring a sound. And like, and also you can hold a note, you know, something that you land on somewhere and you're like, and I love the idea of like, I'm just going to hold it. I'm going to test it. And then I might just slide up to the next note. And you're like, oh, you can take the audience with you as well. Well, next time, I would love you to come. We'll do it. Improvisation.
And my next question is, have you faced any challenges? And I mean, I know we all probably have, but how have you overcome them? Do you have a way of dealing with it?
I think my biggest thing that I've had to overcome is like my own self, like my imposter syndrome that I feel. And
musicians, all of that.
I think everyone, you know, I think it's not even musicians. I think it's also realized like, oh my, and people are talking about it a lot more. And I think people are talking more about mental health and kind of, and I think the life of a soloist is very lonely and it's very, you know, and it's also, I've been living in out of suitcases for many years, and like actually the last couple of years I've been living with my family. And it's made me sort of reflect back, and I think the things that I thought, my insecurity about not having been classically trained after the age of 18, made me feel really like was an anxious, like anxiety inducing kind of thing, and made me think that I wasn't worthy. And I think that I've finally, also through composing and seeing like the things that I've done, I've only probably done because I didn't go to music college. Yeah. So I think turning things around into a strength and to also just accepting, you know, no one ticks all the boxes and it's okay. And it's kind of like a bit of self-love and kind of reminding yourself that, it's normal to have imposter syndrome. And so I think that's probably, I would say, the biggest obstacle I've had psychologically.
I can definitely relate to that. I think there's a big part, of actually learning, as I said, learning how to just love yourself. I mean, it's a thing to always want to improve, but then it's another to actually be so harsh with yourself that it becomes negative.
Do you listen back to live recordings or sound like after gigs and stuff? Do you?
I try to, because I think it's important.
You do, yeah.
But I know
it
can be really hard. It can be really hard. And especially even during practice, I try and record myself, and then you hear yourself, and I try really hard to be like, right, would you say that to a student? Yeah. Definitely not. So like try and be, treat myself as I would treat somebody else. But who has inspired you within the music space or just generally any, for example, women figures who inspired you?
I think, I mean, two musicians who spring to mind, like Björk and also Laurie Anderson. Björk, they're both women who carved their own path. And I think in those moments where I'm like, oh my God, you know, I don't fit the mold of something. It's just like, oh, these inspirational women who kind of, they had their own voice and their own language and their own path of like creative expression. And I think that's really admirable. So I think definitely those two. I mean, but the beauty is I feel like now I work with more and more women. There are more and more women composers.
Yeah.
My duo, Ava Waves, my partner in that is a woman, Aisling Brower. And it's so nice to have collaborative relationships with other women. I think it's a totally different way of working. So I think I'm surrounded by lots of female-led teams or non-binary teams, you know, people who don't fit the sort of middle-aged male box. And I think that's exciting. Yeah. So I feel like every day I'm inspired by women that I work with as well.
And I guess the last question, which is my favorite question, I wish I could ask to, it's a question I, whenever I meet somebody who I really admire, who does very inspiring thing, I always ask them, what would you say to younger girls? Like one advice or one thing that you wish you would have known that you'd like to share?
Maybe to celebrate your own difference and to be kind to yourself and not feel that you have to fit a certain mold, to be bold and be brave and to have confidence in your choices and your instinct, I'd say.
That's beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I hope we can play together.
Let's have a chat.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.